Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the
wonderful being in the house of God this morning. You know, you think as if you were a cook or a chef and you're trying to prepare things to sustain life, natural food for people, good food, you know, if you got 1,000 to feed or two, you're going to feed them. Amen. And a little small flock this morning, but I appreciate y'all coming out. Be in prayer for the ones. Many are going to be traveling home today and heading back this way. And it's good to have Brother Bob and Sister Jan with us. I'll be looking forward to hear Brother Bob give him the opportunity to bring the word. Made a commitment to Brother Bob to take care of his airfare going to India this next trip. And as I told Brother Bob when I met him 2 or 3 weeks ago, that I'm glad to be partakers with the trip by helping support a brother. It's an honor to do such a thing. Amen. You know, brethren, we know the scriptures and the word of God, and we talk about the harvest. You know, and we talk about labors are few. And I thank God for men that are willing to make sacrifices and go to try to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost and dying. in this world. We also know the other side of the perspective. The Bible said that, you know, they surpass land and sea, making twofold more the child of hell. And I'm sad to say that this is what's happening, you know, with American ministry. We could use a term, maybe even say Western theology. America started out as such a powerful, great nation that had the hand of God. America would not be here, or what we could say the United States, unless there was a move of God. There was a handful, we could say, against the greatest, most mighty power in all the world, when we think of the United Kingdom, and a handful make a stand. And these men, by God's intervention, it would have been like Gideon's army in the present day, hundreds of years later. And they made a stand against them and prevailed. Amen. And God had a plan for this great nation of America. He had a plan, a purpose. It was fulfilled in a mighty, mighty way. America was known throughout all of the world as a great, benevolent nation. And every nation of the world knew who our God was, amen, and who we proclaimed to be our God. But over time, things have begun deteriorating, and men's hearts have gotten worse and worse, and darkness has come upon. And as the great Martin Luther said back in the 1500s, he said that the gates to hell would become the education system. And we can go back all the way to the garden, and we can think of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is representative of the education system, the education of the mind of man. Amen. And it's destroying everything. Amen. And my pastor used to say, and it sounded ever so insulting, he said, take your virtuous, beautiful little girl and send her off to college and get back a whore. And you know, that offends people. They say, well, my daughter went to college and she's no harlot. Well, the statement didn't say that all of them was, but you know, there's a very high percentage of that that takes place in people sending children off. You know, and I've shared this as a testimony, a terrible testimony, I could say, but a testimony to that kind of a statement being true. I didn't raise up in a godly home or a Christian home. And I remember in grade school having friends who were raised in Christian homes. And as I grew and got into high school and started, to my shame, and you know, I started messing with drugs and different things in the late 60s and early 70s and started drinking and doing those things. But I can remember these Christian friends in grade school that never would be partakers of those things, and through junior high school and some high school. And you know, there would be high school parties. They would never be there. And then I remember as age progressed on and going to college parties, and these kids were sent off 40 miles away from home, 30 miles away from home to go to college. And they were staying in dorms and different kind of things, and started seeing them in the college parties. Started seeing them smoking the pot and doing things of such. It's sad. And you say, well, brother, you know, there's people that go to college and get educated and they become great doctors or great entrepreneurs in the world. I say yay and amen. But brothers and sisters, if we would look at the percentages, you know, if we would really look and analyze what is really coming out of the colleges of the United States of America, there's a mind that they're drilling into people and a political correctness that they're putting into people. It's the great abomination of desolation, to be quite honest with you. And I know that when we start identifying the abomination of desolation, we're going to say, well, it's going to take place in the Middle East and us, and or in Israel, we could say. But, brethren, you know, there's things that are, today is the day of salvation. Today he is the I am. And there's abominations of desolation taking place every day. When a man gets so vaunted up in his own mind, making himself to be God. Now listen to me, making himself in his intellectual carnal man's mind to be God. You see, that right there is an abomination. Now, you know, we could go into some teaching this morning, very well may, about that. Because the Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. You know, and then I say, well, you say it's an abomination when a man would say that he is God. And I say, this is why we have to differentiate. And you know, many times when you teach what Jesus Christ taught, people will number you as a cult, and you got to be very careful. You got to be careful to teach people how to differentiate between the inner man and the outer man, between the mortal man and the immortal man, between the telestial man and the celestial man. You got to learn to differentiate between these two. And you know, the great apostle Paul made a statement. He said, I would like to speak unto you as spirituals, But he said, I find you still yet carnal. Now see, if you're going to speak to a man that's spiritual, and he went on to say, he said, the things that I'm teaching or wanting to teach to you, that you all should be teaching these by now. This is what he said. And I have a gentleman that's disputing with me a little bit in some of the writings because I didn't speak verbatim, you know, of the scriptures. Now, I paraphrase a lot of things, and we got scriptural foundations. Amen. I might say something a little bit differently than an exact reading of the scriptures, but it's there. I'm not going to add or take away from the Word of God, brethren, by no means. But many times in speaking to people, we can express the Word. We are the expression of the Word if you're born again. Come on now. If you are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are truly the expression of the Word. The Bible said, written epistles, read known of all men. And when your attributes are evil, carnal, fleshly, envious, jealous, hate, drunken, you know, whatever, those are not the attributes of a born-again, spirit-filled man. And you say, well, I know that, you know, I've been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, but I have problems. Well, we all do. Amen. It was that first birth. And that's the part we're supposed to take to the cross every single day. So we got to rend the veil between that outer man and that inner man. Which one do we speak by? But if I come to church this morning and I say, well, I'm just going to speak as a terrestrial man or a mortal man. I'm just going to speak like that. So I'm going to go to the Bible. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And I could go on, brethren. And I could talk about it's appointed to go back to the dust. You know, I could talk about the failures of it, the weakness of it, and all those things. We'll all probably leave a little bit down. Amen. But it's a reality that we are all born, all men's hearts fashioned alike. The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? So we got plenty of scripture talking about the weakness of man, the failures of man, and the things that man is prone and acceptable to, because they're all fashioned alike. You know, man said, I don't deal with lust. Well, the first thing, he may not be, but he's dealing with one thing for sure. He's a liar. Amen. All men deal with lust. And we always take lust to the sexual perversion, and most of the time, you know, is when the word is used. But, you know, there's men that lust after popularity, fame, recognition, prestige. They lust after things that will hinder and hurt their testimonies for God. And they can't be utilized to the fullness in Christ because they yield too much to the members of their flesh. So we find the great John the Baptist, we find this brother, you know, says that he wanted to decrease, that Christ could increase. So here he is speaking of something. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, the first thing somebody would say, well, wait a minute, I can't let a mind be in me that makes me equal with God. But Jesus and the scriptures were fully fulfilled, and we got to understand who we are in Christ. We're joint heirs with him. He said he's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. So, you know, brethren, if we would start considering and thinking that, and what did he really do for us? What did the Lord really do? Did he really give us everything that pertaineth unto life? Did he really do this? Now, a lot of times we get carnal and we're looking for all the materialistic possessions, but our God does supply material things to us. But the secret to getting material things, brethren, to first seek the spiritual things. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. So we start seeking to store things away in heaven, and it overflows and blesses us. Oh man, it sounds like a good time to take an offering. You're teaching that if we would just sow into your ministry, that we would be blessed. Well, I could teach that. And there wouldn't be a thing wrong with that. But that's, you know, the prosperity message has been so twisted and so perverted over the many years, brethren, that, you know, preachers refrain that if they're being led by the Spirit of God to speak about things that are really real. Because the enemy will take always a truth and pervert it. And he'll taint it, and he'll use a truth to exploit or to make natural gains and different things in life. Now, talking about trying to rend some veils here this morning. So if we talk about, oh, wretched man that I am, then we got to be able to speak about, what are we on the new birth side? I'm born of God. Do you realize that the Christian people are afraid to speak? The Bible said Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. And I'm quoting a lot of Bible here now this morning, or I could say paraphrasing a lot of Bible this morning. Okay, but he's the high priest of our profession. Okay? Now, the thing is that our profession should be in Christ. And very, very few people that are walking and calling themselves Christians, or they say they've been born again, they say they've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I find a lack of a profession. Amen? A lack of profession of Christ. Let's read some scripture here. Let's go over to John, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, and I'm going to speak about some things, and I trust that God will help this. You know, we got a lot of people that tune in with us and view the internet. These messages are recorded, and they go out into many places around the world and going into prisons and many things, so I try to take adequate time and get things down. We cross all the T's if possible and dot all the I's. Amen. And I trust the Lord with my lack of being an orator, my lack of reading or whatever, that I can still get things expressed in a way that the people that love the Lord and are drawing from the Word could find the truth and find freedom there within. With our day and hour that we're in, there's so many denominations with so many different teachings. And many of them are in a stride for superiority. You know, well, I go to the Pentecostal this church and it's better than the Pentecostal that church. And I go to this one and I'm this one. We worship Saturday, we worship Sunday. We believe in one God, we believe in a three-person God. We believe this, we believe. And then it is a wilderness. I'm sorry to say that. It turned into wilderness, and well, this is what I believe. So they're going to find somebody believing exactly like them, and then that's where they're going to fellowship, and there's no growth in that. Am I saying that we just need to intermingle with everybody? Absolutely not. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. But I find some brethren out there that may have some different doctrines, we might say. I know the Bible said if they preach any other doctrine what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. I do understand that, but there is an element of grace, brethren. There is some mercy and grace of God, because there are people that have some doctrines that have been tainted, but this way they raised up in their end, and God could show a little mercy, but they need to listen to be drawn out. Amen. Brother Rob's made many adaptions over the years walking with God. There's many things that I had to remove from what I would have to say my theology. I had to remove some things as I got my eyes opened, as I grew in the grace and knowledge of God and progressed into the kingdom of God. Brethren, we're all in a growing. Amen. We're all pressing towards the mark of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. You might quote the scripture back to me and say, well, the Bible said that he has not given us a spirit of error. And I say, yay and amen. But people that don't have a spirit of error can still have error. There's a difference, brethren. You know, a person could be an error, but a spirit of error is an habitual, continual thing. And then you reject the knowledge of the truth and you got a spirit of error. Amen. So the thing is I can confess to you that Brother Rob has been in error before. Amen. But as God enlightened me and brought it to light, and I made alterations and changes over the years, brethren, and there's some things that may not seem that important to some. Some would say some of the doctrines that we press into and push, they say, well, you're straining on that and swallowing a camel. Well, you know, I could easily, you know, see where maybe people can go with that. But I think it's very important to have the T's crossed and the I's dotted, amen, in some of the foundational doctrines of the Word of God, amen. They wanted to take the name Jesus out of doctrine in the very early church. If you go in the book of Acts, when they took the disciples the first time to take them and beat them, and they told them, they said, we don't want you teaching or preaching or speaking this name no more. The no Catholic Church has done its best to try to remove the name, and many of the Protestants likewise have done so. When we get into doctrines and teaching, it isn't by any means because I'm not a denominationalist or I'm not part of a denominational group of any kind. I'm called a Christian. I'd like to go like the Bible said, sons of God. And so I'm not trying to convert somebody to some kind of a new sect of people or religion by any means. I would like to see people turn back to the old paths and to the real, true, born-again Christianity spirit field without the demonstration of exuberance, with a real infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that can bring a real exuberance. Amen. Let's go here again to the Gospel of John, 10th chapter, 32nd verse. Let's start with 31. It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law?" Now think about this. Jesus answered him and said, "Is it not written in your law?" I said, "Ye are gods." If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, "Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God." Now, brethren, here we find our Lord and our Savior. We say God, Emmanuel, God with us. And he's here before the people. And these Jews, we might say, are taking up stones to stone him. And he asked them for what good works. I know we just read this, but they said, "Because you're mere man, making yourself to be God." Now we know that Jesus is God. But he went on there to say that ye are gods. And I say, yea and amen. Okay, but we've gone to the scriptures. I could pull these scriptures up, but I'll paraphrase and speak the scriptures again. We find so many scriptures, so many things that vindicate the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we are the stewards of the mysteries of God according to the Bible. So when we go to the Bible and read the scriptures, we find that Jesus made himself twain. You know what twain means? Two. He made himself twain, Lord and Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. It was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, robed in a fleshly image, walked among man, that we could learn and see and understand the attributes of God. Is that right? Man did not know God. Man was making images and man was doing all kinds of things all through the Old Testament stuff. But God robed himself in flesh. The eternal God. The God that has no beginning and no end. The one and only God robes himself in flesh and comes in the fullness, walks among men that we could perceive and comprehend and understand God. And then as he takes these disciples and he teaches and works and prays and trains and all these different things, he starts asking questions to find out, do they really know who I am? And then one day we find Peter having this revelation, and he said that you are God, our Christ, and he brought this understanding and revelation. And he said, upon that rock, not upon Peter, but upon that rock, that revelation, that understanding, Jesus is the understanding. He is that rock. Build the church. We know it wasn't too many, five, six verses or whatever on further down. The Lord ends up turning to him and says, get you behind me, Satan. So are we building upon that rock? Are we building upon that understanding? But you see, it's because Peter was twain also. Come on now. This was revealed to you not from flesh and blood, but from the Father. Okay? This is what Jesus said to Peter. And then a few minutes later, just a few short verses down, he said, get you behind me, Satan. Because he yielded to the flesh. Amen. Now, if we were going to expound on that this morning and speak just on that solely, which we're not, but I'm saying if we were. So here we find twain in this man. The Lord says, get you behind me, Satan. Well, he was speaking to the devil. And I say, yea and amen. Where was the devil at? Where does he live? Where does he dwell? You know, you say, well, surely not in the Son of God. Surely he wasn't in Peter. And I say, well, Peter yielded to the mind of the enemy. Now we go back to scriptures, and the Bible said, again, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, so now we're going to have to take this mind, but there's another mind. The Bible said, cast down every thought and every vain imagination. So am I going to cast down God's thoughts? I hope not. So we're differentiating thoughts now. Okay, so then the Bible teaches us again to think on the things from above, the things that are virtuous, righteous, holy, godly. Okay, so we got to learn to think properly. Do you realize that the way you think has a lot to do with the way you fellowship, the way you walk, and the way you do? We got to learn to take control over our thoughts. If it's teaching us in the Bible to cast down thoughts and vain imaginations and to cast these things down, then we're going to have to start differentiating thoughts. Discern. You know, many times we think, well, I got the gift of discernment. Well, I could discern this guy's spirit. He's not of God. And I discern you're not having a good day. No, you need to discern your thoughts. Those are okay to do those things. But those aren't the ones that's your problem. This man out here with the devil or the sister out here with the devil or whatever isn't really your problem. The problem is your thoughts. Amen. That's what destroys mankind. That's what destroys people. That's what puts a man in hell and another man because of his thoughts. And you say, well, I'm not sure. It's the sin. Well, how did the sin get there? The sin entered into this man through his thoughts. He yielded to the wrong thoughts. This is why, again, we got to guard over the way we think. We got to guard over because those thoughts will give birth into sin. Many things that could be said about sin. So many things could be said. But Brother Chuck, I want you to put 1 John, the first chapter, on my Bible there, if you don't mind. So, we find Jesus here expressing to people, he said, but ye are gods. So I stand before people today and I say, well, brethren, I am God. And you say, oh my, you're a devil. You're blaspheming, brother. You ain't God. And I say, yay and amen, you're right. Okay? But we're going to have to get some revelation in this to stay in line with the word. Now, if I'm a mere man making myself to be God, this is what they wanted to stone Jesus for. Okay, but we know he was God, correct? Well, that's not you though, brother. That was him. But he said, let me have the same mind that was in him that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, this is a commandment. So I'm supposed to come into this mind. Well, what kind of mind is that? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the Bible teaches us. Now, I'm telling you, brethren, many people walk far below the privileges that they have because they don't know how to think properly. They think like a man. Now, if we go over and read the scriptures in Psalms 82 that he was speaking about there, where he said it was also written that ye are gods, it said that, you know, it said that ye are gods, but then there's scriptures there that goes on to say, but they die like men from what? A lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding. Now, see, if you don't have the revelation or the understanding of God, you'll die like a man. But you got to come to understanding that you're eternal in God. You see, we're predestined in Christ. Now, if I was just simply going to talk about the new creature and the old creature for a minute. Okay, the Bible said, you know, when you've been born again, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that creature? There's a lot of difference between him and your first birth. Your first birth and your first man is mortal, of the earth. Your new birth is heavenly, of the heavens. It's eternal. It's of the Spirit. Now, the thing is if we talk about the Father's invisible and no man has seen him. So we talk about this invisible Father, no man has ever seen, but he comes and robes himself in flesh that man can see him. Now, when Jesus was here, I could take you to the scriptures and he was walking with them. He said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And then he goes on to express that he is within us and we're within him. And we become one with him. Now see, this is predestination in Jesus Christ. You see, well, I got to have my own sovereignty. I got to have my own thing. I got to have this. The only thing that we got to have is in him. Amen. We're predestined in Christ. Not in your revelation. Not in your understanding. Not in your goodness. Not in your works. It's in him. That's where our salvation, he said he saved us when we were yet still in our sin. And you might say, well, wait a minute. Are you preaching predestination and it's all taken care of in the foreknowledge of God? And I'm saying, if we were going to teach on predestination, well, we'd have to take a lot of time to go into a lot of revelation to understand it. There's many people that have this kind of a theology. Well, if, you know, if I'm God's elect, I'm predestined in him. It don't matter how I live. I live like a dog. I live like a devil. I smoke. I drink. I curse. I'm a whoremonger or whatever. And man, I'm predestined in Christ. No, you're predestined in eternal damnation. The Bible says whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. And if I'm yielding my members to the flesh, then the Bible says perfectly well that my Father is the devil. Okay? So, you know, you got your revelations all crossed up and all messed up, and your predestination doctrine is all fuddled up and all goofed up. Amen. The Bible said to make your calling and election sure. So if I'm going to make my calling and election sure, I'm going to do that in the Word and in Christ. Amen. And I'm going to commit my works and my labors unto him. And then I have the Spirit within me that cries, Abba, Father. Amen. So we got to go line upon line and precept upon precept and stay within the Scriptures and the Word. Again, if we start rending some veils, let me read a couple more scriptures and then we're going to make a couple more renderings or rending the veil, maybe we could say, or some differentiations. And in 1 John 1, I'm going to go down to the latter part of the verse of chapter 1. Verse 6, let's go right there. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Boy, that sure eliminates a lot of Christianity in America, doesn't it? How many people profess Christianity? But they're at the football games, the basketball games, the baseball games. They take their wives and they go to the beaches and they strip off like common Jezebels and harlots in nakedness. Come on now, that's not the children of God. That's not the attributes of Christ-like. God was a holy man. He kept himself covered. He said his garments went to his feet. Amen. He covered up the nakedness, brother. Well, don't get ritualistic on us. I'm just getting holy on you. Amen. We are holiness people. Amen. Okay, as if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I want you to think about this for a minute. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 again, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So let's talk about the fulfillment of one. The Bible also says, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, if I say I had no sin or have not sinned, I make his word a lie. Yea and amen. And this is where we're going to differentiate right here. I know I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and it was appointed unto man to die. But let me ask you this. The Bible said that we've passed from death unto life. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors. Well, what is being conquered, brother? Bible teaches also that Jesus said that the last enemy of God to be abolished or done away with is death. Do you realize that death is abolished? Now you say, well, but I buried my mama. I buried my daddy. I buried my granddaddy. I buried my wife. I buried my husband. I buried my brother. I buried my sister. I buried this. I buried that. You say, you can't tell me that death has been abolished. I surely can. You see, we do not go by the vanities of this world and the lie. We go by the scriptures and the word of God. The Bible said that we're more than conquerors. The Bible said that we've passed from death unto life. When he came across Lazarus' tomb, he was telling the truth. He said, I am the resurrection. He said this before he resurrected, didn't he? And I could say before you today that I am the resurrection. And I got Bible for that. Are you telling me that you're the resurrection? I'm telling you that I am the child of the resurrection. And what does a child of the resurrection do? He resurrects. Now the Bible teaches us that also. The Bible said, take up your cross every day and mortify the deeds of the man every single day. So I'm killing something every day. Is that right? Now if we're just going to kill something all the time, we're going to have to bring something to resurrection. Or there's no life. And we are the children of light. We are the children of the resurrection, the Bible says. We walk in the light. So every single day, brethren, we have to resurrect. Amen. And we got to resurrect from the dead works of our first birth into the works of Christ. And we got to be led by the Spirit of God and we got to walk in the Spirit of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So now we find a foundation in first one, which many denominations will stop there. Right there. Okay, I want to go over to Brother Chuckfield, switch that over to 1 John, the third chapter. We could go ahead and read through two, but we're going to go right over to the third chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But what are we, brethren? Come on now. Well, I'm a woman. How could I say I'm a son of God the same way that I'm a man say I'm the bride of Christ? And you say, well, you're speaking by the spirit there then, aren't you? I say, no, I'm speaking by the soul. And there's a difference. If there's no male nor female in the spiritual realm, then where is this sonship at? You know, if we say this and looking at this way and differentiating. And if there's no marriage and given to marriage there, then how could there be a bride in the third heaven? Now, I know we can go into the scriptures in the book of Revelations where he said, I show you a mystery. There was a woman there in travail to bring forth a child. There was a red dragon there to devour the child just as soon as the child was born. And it said that was in heaven. But as soon as the child was born, what happened to it? It was caught up. Now, if it was in the third heaven, there ain't nothing higher than that. So it couldn't have been caught up from the third heaven. It was caught up from the second heaven. And that's where the warfare, the fight, and the travail's at. It lays in the second heaven, which is relative to the soul. It's relative to the things that we're in travail and learning to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. So, I know that when I started talking first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, we have Bible. He said, I don't know whether in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away in the third heaven, saw things that he couldn't speak. So the thing is, when we start differentiating some of these, some people have troubles differentiating between these different dimensions, but we have to. I like to speak to you out of the third. Now, if I speak to you out of the man dimension, it's appointed unto me to death, to go back to corruption, to go back to the dust. It's everything, all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And I tell you, it's a terrible way to think. Amen? But death has been abolished. So I've got to think in this new way of thinking as a new creature in Christ. I got to think after the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. I got to speak as the things to bring people to the light in this world and understanding. So you say, well, Brother Rom, what are you saying? I'm saying I can't die because I'm more than a conqueror, and death was the last enemy of God, and it was abolished at Calvary. And ye that are born of God, brethren, you know, you cannot sin. Bible teaches that sin is the sting of death. Now, if you tell me that you're a sinner and you sin every day, then you're appointed to go to hell. I was born as a sinner and I had sin in me, but that man was crucified with Christ and no longer lives. I could take you to Galatians, the second chapter. I've been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So I'm living a life by faith. Faith is invisible to the people of this world, brethren. They don't see it. But I'm the substance of faith in the earth. And you're the substance as a son of God, as a child of God. You are the substance of God. You are the light manifesting in the world of darkness today. You are the Word made known and the Word made manifest. The Bible said your written epistles read known. You say, but brother, you're taken away from Jesus. How could I take away from Jesus when everything I'm speaking about is Him? This is what He came to do, to fulfill all righteousness. He came to dwell in me and I dwell in Him. He said He was the firstborn of many brethren. Okay? And so I'm a brother. Amen. And He has given us everything that pertaineth unto life. He's given us the authority and the power to remit and to retain sin. What do you think we do when we go into all the world preaching the gospel and we take them to the water hole and we baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? For what? For the remission of sin. He's given us this authority and power. Are you saying that the water washed away the sin? Absolutely not. No more than I say that this anointing oil is what heals. But this is a point of contact for mankind. You understand that? So, we got to be careful that we have learned to come to Jesus Christ being the high priest of our profession. So if I keep professing that I'm a sinner and I sin every day, I'm not professing Christ. I'm professing death and things. So now if we go again, let's go back over here to 1 John 1 again. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now, brethren, should we be as one caught unaware when people contest and fight against the revelational doctrine of the Bible? You know, if we're talking to people, hey, I'm a new creature in Christ, I can't die. Well, you're crazy. They can't see this. When my pastor, he taught these revelational doctrines, and when he died, there was people that come to mock him. He said he would never die. The Bible said that's sleep, brethren. There is a difference between sleep and death. And we got to learn to understand that. And you say, well, it's just a word play. You know, the dude's laying in a box and he's got no breath in him and his heart ain't beating. They took all the fluids out and they pumped him full of bombs. So I don't care what you call it. You can call it sleep. You can call it death. The dude's dead. That's what they done with Lazarus, right? When Jesus finally said, okay, he's dead. So speak it as you think. Okay, he's dead in your mind and thoughts. Okay, so now, you say, well, what is the difference between sleep and death? There's a whole lot of difference. Do you realize that there's a whole lot of difference in being born the first time and being born the second? Amen. Now, when you're born again, brethren, that's eternal. Amen. Amen. And when you die twice, that's eternal. It's a second death. So, you know, when we start differentiating these things, we got to understand. And there's people that are right now walking in the earth that are twice dead, the Bible says. They're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So they've already died twice. There's no hope for them. There's no salvation for them in this world or the world to come. And you say, you're speaking of blaspheming. Well, I can say that if that's where you want to go with your thoughts and say that they've blasphemed against God, I could say yea and amen. But let me tell you, brethren, they are dead, twice dead. No hope for them. No repentance for them. There's many recordings in the Bible. People say, oh, as long as there's breath, there's hope. That's not the truth. Because there's some that sought God with bitter tears of repentance, couldn't find it. We think of Judas when he betrayed the Lord. He took the money of the offense back to the temple and he threw it on the floor. And he sought for repentance and couldn't find it, went and hung himself. So, brethren, there's people that can't find it. They said it would have been better if he would have never been born. Amen. So we got to stay with the scriptures. Now let's go back to 1 John 3. Give me a little time this morning. It's still very early. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now, does anybody need me to get a dictionary and define what now means? Yeah. Amen. Now's now, isn't it? We're a now people. God is the I am. Amen. Now is now. You know, somebody said, well, you know, someday I'm going to take my last breath and then I'm going to be a son of God. And I say, well, if you're not one now, you ain't going to be one then. You know, if you're already born of God, you're birthed into the kingdom. You're birthed and translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Amen. We're born of God now, brethren. And matter of fact, the Bible said our name was in the book of life before the foundation of this world. And it goes on even to say that Jesus was crucified before this world ever was. So people get this chronological order of God. It kind of gets them goofed up right there because they don't understand. But when we're talking about now we're the sons of God. And when we get into the eternal now, we have no beginning. We have no end. We always have been. We're eternal, one with the Creator. Amen. You see, brethren, you know, well, I was born in the 50s. You know, I was born in the 40s. I was born in the 60s or whatever. You know what? We could say Jesus was born over here, you know, and right around AD, you know, 2 or 3 or whatever. AD, a lot of disputes on that, but regardless, you know. But he said he had no beginning, had no end. You see, we as speaking as the new creature in Christ Jesus is eternal. We got to learn to think eternally. Amen? And when we start thinking eternally, brethren, and letting the mind of Christ be in us, we know that this world is temporal in its vanity, its vexation of the spirit. We're here for a moment and we're gone. It's like a vapor and a mist. So we don't want the snares of this world, the love of this world, the carnality of this world, the secularism of this world to get a hold of our mind and thoughts. Because if we get the carnal mind, the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. But we know the sons of God have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we're no longer carnally minded. Come on now. Because if you're carnal minded and it's death, then you got to come into the mind of Christ. It all goes back to again thinking. And you say, well, you can't put it all into thinking. Well, surely I can. You understand that? You know, if you continually to profess something that you are, that's what you're going to be. Jesus Christ, the high priest of my profession. I'm going to profess his righteousness, his works, his labors, his holiness. And I'm going to profess those things. And those things is the only way, the only chance that I have to abide in those things. Amen. Let's go back and read some more scripture here. We're in the second verse here. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now. Amen. Now. So I'm a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How'd you become a son of God? I was born again. I was born again. Okay, now, I'm going to say this. We're going to keep reading. Now, this is where people will draw up with you. My pastor used to say things like this. He would say that if we go out here to the farm, and we go over and we got a neighbor that's raising pigs, right? Okay, and you got your little, what they call a sow. Okay, and you got a boar. Okay, when they come together in union and they reproduce, we usually get horses, is that right? Has anybody been to the pig farm and seen a colt born? No. You get little pigs, right? Huh? If you take a black man and he sows the seed into his wife, it's going to reproduce after his kind, and what do you get? You're going to get a black man, a yellow man, a red man, a white man, a brown man, whatever it is, reproducing after its kind. A horse is going to get a horse, correct? A horse is going to get a horse, a giraffe a giraffe, a donkey a donkey. You say, you made your point, preacher. I'm just making sure we're all together. Okay, so now if God reproduces, what does he bring forth? Come on, what? has to be a God. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Okay, now, see, this is where people get offended. But then yet, the same people that are offended will go to the scriptures and say this, that Satan is the God of this world. Now, they're going to call Satan the God of this world, but then yet, they cannot receive the doctrine of Jesus Christ and what he taught the people that, beloved, now you are the sons of God. And if I'm a son of God, it means I'm born of God and my heavenly Father's God, the eternal God, and I'm born of him. And Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God, but then he was the firstborn of many, brethren. The firstborn of many, and then we become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and our predestination is in him, and now, beloved, we are the sons of God. That's not too complicated, is it? But be careful with that, because when they were taking up stones to stone him, they'll do the same thing to you. You stake and start teaching people that, and they're going to want to take up stones. Why? Because they got the same spirit the Pharisee had. You say, that sounds kind of strong. Well, all you got to do is look at the condition of the world. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, verse 2, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You say, well, what is that saying, Brother Rob? It's saying it is not yet. Well, then how could we say that this is not yet when he said, beloved, now? But you say, well, that's saying it's going to be the world. It's talking about the world. The world will not see us. They're not going to see you as a son of God. They're going to fight you. They're going to be religious. They're going to call you a cult. They will not see you as a son of God. You ain't going to have no honor. Let's go back to Jesus. How many saw him as a son of God? He walked in his own land. There wasn't many miracles wrought there, according to the scriptures, in Nazareth. Why? Because they didn't believe. You see, and there's not many miracles in this day and hour. Yes, we've seen them, saints, and we know of them. But in America, there's not too many. There's a lot of phony ones, but there's not too many more miracles here. Why? Because the people don't know who they are in Christ. And if they would know who they are and what he's done for them, they would walk in the power and the authority and the might of our Lord, our God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go on just for a moment. It says, and every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, he's purifying himself even as he is pure. Now, how does that happen? I'll explain that. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Come on now. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. How many abide in the Lord this morning? Amen. So then you sinneth not. Okay, now we can get into what the theologians teach on this, and they say, oh, that's talking about willful sin. Well, I could teach on willful sin, and it's still accurate. If we go and talk about willful sin, we're going to go to Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. Come on. That's where we go with that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm born of God, and I cannot sin. You know why I cannot sin? Because I can't die. If I could sin, that means I could die. And that would make God's word a lie that death wasn't abolished. He said, we're more than conquerors, brethren. We've passed from death unto life. I believe the word. And I'm going to profess the word, and I'm going to speak the word, and I'm going to walk in the word. Now, I can stand here and tell you that I'm born of God, and I cannot sin, and I cannot die, and go off and live like a whoremonger, and go drink and party and all that stuff, and I'll go to hell. It means I didn't believe the word. But when you believe the word and you say, well, brother, if you say you cannot sin, are you saying you're perfect? I'm saying, yes, sir. He said, be ye perfect even as your master in heaven is perfect. And he said, I perfected you once and for all by my works at Calvary. The Lord Jesus said that. He has perfected us. He's made us without spot, wrinkle, and blemish and made us pure. Well, when do I start believing that? When you have eternal life. Because without believing those things, you don't have eternal life. But I'm a man. No, I was born as a man, but that man passed away. He's been crucified with Christ. He no longer lives. The life that I now live in this flesh, live by faith in the Son of God. So what are you, new creature in Christ? What are you, Son of God? What are you, eternal? What are you, a new creature? Old things have passed away. We got to start believing that, brethren. We got to quit professing or confessing the weakness of man. We got to quit confessing after the carnal mind of death. The carnal mind is death. The carnal mind is death, the Bible says. You can't talk like a man, think like a man. Think on these things. Think on the things of virtuous and righteous. Let's talk about something maybe a little easier to grasp. If you go to the medical doctor and you go in there for your annual checkup and the doctor checks you out and he said, I see something in your x-ray I'm not quite liking. I'm going to run a blood test on you. So then they run a blood test on you and they check this x-ray out and they scope a little more of this and that and they said, look, you know, you're eat up with cancer. It's in such a bad array. It's in your blood. It's in everything. And there's really no hope for you. Now, you have a choice there. You could believe the report from the natural doctor, or you could believe the report from the spiritual doctor. Now, my Jesus, the physician, the great physician, he says, by his stripes we're healed. Amen? And through the profession of his works at Calvary, and by the profession of his stripes that he received, I could look that doctor and I say, sir, I understand what you're saying. Thank you for your expertise. Thank you for your education. Thank you for your doctor's degrees. But my doctor is superior to you. And I, by his word, believe that I am healed, thus saith the Lord, by the stripes of Jesus Christ. You say, well, why I spoke that? By faith. Well, faith is going to bring forth a substance. Come on now. That's what the Bible says. If you got true faith, it'll bring forth a substance. And there will be a time that you could walk back into that doctor's office. And he thought, well, you should have been dead by now. And he goes, let me take x-rays of you again. And he goes and looks and he can't find this at all. Why? Because you took and birthed faith in your heart and believed that that was a lying vanity. You believed that that was not true. And all of a sudden, the tissue structure and those things changed by the power of the heavens, by the power of the blood, by the power of God, by the works and labors of Jesus Christ. Now, it was something that was not that you believed and spoke and it became. Is that correct? This is faith. Now the thing is, brethren, now you're born as a mortal man and it's going to take faith because without faith you cannot please God. And without faith it can be imputed to you as sin. And sin is the fulfillment or the sting of death. And that means you haven't passed from death unto life. So by faith, brethren, by the profession of Jesus Christ and his works, we profess who we are in Christ. And we're eternal. We're hid away, we're sealed in, and nothing could be laid to our charge. Those are all biblical terminologies. This is what we believe. He has already perfected us once and for all by his works at Calvary, so we are perfect. And you say, that's hard to receive when you've just got problems and complications. Well, see, you got your eyes on the vanity side. Now, so we're going to go back to making ourselves twain. We have an inward quickening spirit that's perfect, eternal, hid away, sealed in. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can be laid to a charge and it can't sin. We got an outer man that's relative to this earth. It's carnal. It wants to stumble around after this. We got to kill that guy every day. We got to keep mortifying, keep mortifying, keep mortifying. We can't think like he thinks. We got to cast down his mind, his thoughts. He'll say, you can't do it. And then we find another mind that says, you could do all things through Christ. And he said, well, it's impossible. He said, but I came to make the impossible things possible. You see how we find a conflict in the mind? We find a conflict right here. The warfare is right there in your thoughts. So we got to learn to start taking this warfare. We got to start learning to take on these principalities and powers, these enemy of God. And we got to start learning to say, you know what? It's time for you to shut your mouth. You ain't going to use my vocal utterances no more. You're not going to spew out of my mouth anymore. You're not going to say that you this or that. Amen. You got to have a confession and a profession, I should say, of Jesus Christ. And I believe that his works were good enough. And if he didn't do it at Calvary, it ain't going to be done. And when he hung his head there and said it's finished, that means that death was abolished. It was conquered. And we're more than conquerors. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Now we are, beloved, the sons of God. Amen. The world may not see you of what you already are, but brethren, we got to know who we are, and we got to walk like we believe it, and we got to walk like we know it, for they could see it. Amen. We are the manifestation of the Word of God in the earth. Come on now. There's many times people can't believe the things that you say because they don't see it in your action. Amen. They don't see it in your life. They don't see it in your expression. You go around people, well, I just ain't having a good day. What kind of profession is that? Well, I just don't feel good. You know? Well, shut up. And the thing is we got authority over that. Yeah, we all got elements and problems and complications, but we overcome those things through the profession of faith. Amen. I've shared this with you on numerous occasions. My father and I was down here in a restaurant just a few miles from here, and we were getting ready to go do some work. He was in his 70s at the time. This has been, I guess it'd have to be 10 years ago, or probably better than that. But I said, you know, Dad, we could sit here and convince ourselves that we don't feel like going to work. Real easy. You ever get around people that just make you feel heavy? Oh, I just don't feel like doing nothing. I just, you know. And you could put a weight on you. You know, what are you going to be, a Joel Osteen, and start teaching us, you know, all this? Then, no, I'm not going there either. Because I've seen a lot of people. I called a Pentecostal man not long back. And I was trying to find faith in his heart. The doctor said that he just had a few weeks to live. Eat up with cancer. I called him up and I was trying to find faith. And I was trying to just get on the phone and find an element of faith in his heart that we could start speaking and magnify on that faith and let it birth and come alive and bring full deliverance and healing to this man. But this man, through the intellectual concepts of memorization of the Word of God, when I'm trying to talk to him and find his spirit, he just kept professing the Word, which he should be. But it wasn't from his spirit, it was from an intellectual aspect. He said, brother, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. He said, brother, I'm already healed. Brother, I'm already healed. Thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name. I'm already healed. And see, I could get excited about the conversation, but it wasn't from his spirit. He was mimicking faith, but it wasn't in his spirit. And I tried desperately. I tried to pray with him, and I tried desperately to make a contact with faith, and I couldn't find it. The brother passed. He went off the scene within 2 to 3 weeks after that conversation. And he said, well, at least he had the positive profession. I say, yeah, amen. I appreciate that also, brother. But you know, it's more than just a lip service. The Bible said you confess me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. The man was confessing the right thing professing the right thing with his mouth, but his heart wasn't where it needed to be. And he died. Well, many great men of God died, Brother Rob. No great men of man God have ever died. And we pass from death unto life. Some go to sleep. Well, this brother man went to sleep. I'm not contesting the brother's salvation here. He could have went on to sleep and met his reward. I rejoice in the Lord for that. But what I'm saying, I was looking for faith to deal with the situation in this moment and in this time and things. And I couldn't find it. And if that faith wasn't there, could there have not been faith for salvation? Well, let's talk about that a second. I'm not going to say this about this particular gentleman, but I've spoke with many people. I shared a story with you. We're a family member. He knows I'm a preacher, knows me well. I knew who his wife was. The one under his arm wasn't his wife. I come to find out later that he was shacked up with this woman. And he comes up to me, standing up there, and he goes, you know, preacher, he says, I know that I'm born again. Boy, don't you like a good positive profession? You know, man, praise God, I'm born again. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 12 years old. And I got baptized with the Holy Ghost at 14. Amen. And I spoke in tongues and I danced and I ran all over the church. I said, well, glory be to God. You ran the race well, but what's hindered you? But you know, he says, I know that I'm born again. And he says, it doesn't matter what you say. He said, I know if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. Okay, well, he just violated the Bible. The Bible teaches us very clearly that drunkards ain't going to inherit the kingdom. And the man was drunk. Oh, but it's under the blood. Well, we can get into some teaching on that one. You know, is everything under the blood, brethren? If we read Hebrews 6 and 10, everything's not under the blood. My Adamic nature and my sin of the Adamic nature of my first birth was under the blood of Jesus. But the willful sin that man commits is not under the blood. And when you go to a church and that preacher lays hands on you and tries to put your willful sin under the blood, that man's a liar. The Bible said you have one thing to look forward to, the fire indignation of God, and that is the Holy Ghost going to burn that foolishness and that chaff and all those things out of you, and he is going to wear you out. Let me tell you something. The sons of God are disciplined today. We're the children, and we got to enter into the kingdom as a little child. And let me tell you something. When you do willful acts of disobedience, God is going to burn your fields. Come on now. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible said if a brother walks disorderly, break fellowship with them to bring them to repentance, man. It's not under the blood. When a man goes out here and does some willful act of sin, it's not under the blood. He's going to bring the wrath of God, the chastening of God down on his head. That's the problem with the church. They just, oh, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Go ahead and live the way you want. Go ahead and suck you down a Budweiser. Go ahead. If your passions get out of hand, just go ahead and run off with the neighbor's woman. Oh, it's all under the blood. That's the biggest lie from hell that ever was. That willful sin ain't under no blood. Amen. Now, okay. Ran off down that tree limb, didn't we? Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, I hear so many doctrines of like that, and they're frightening to me because they put people in hell. And I'll say this, and I'm going to go back to the scriptures. I had a Pentecostal preacher, and he got mad at me, and I guess he had the right to, but I told him, I said, sir, you're no different than a Catholic priest. It made him mad. Well, I tell you, it'd make me mad if somebody told me I was no different than a Catholic priest. Catholic priests are the devil. Well, I told him that, and the guy got mad. He got on the platform. He prophesied. He said, this Brother Rob is a man of God. You have a true man of God. You know, shut up, guy. Come on. I don't need you to come here prophesying that I'm a man of God. If you don't know that I'm a man of God, then you're the fools to sit here. Amen. I don't need some preacher to come in testifying in my church that I'm a man of God. Amen. And he gets it, but it was flattery. It wasn't a prophetic utterance from God. He was trying to flatter me. Amen. You know, he had come in and spying out our liberties and dust us and us. You know, it's okay to give honor to honor's due. I don't have a problem with that, so I want to make sure I'm understanding here. But the very next day, you know, because of some of the things teaching and preaching and stuff, I was the devil. Well, let me tell you, if you got a prophetic utterance from God standing on a man's platform telling his people, hey, this is a true man of God, and the next day he's the devil, then you got the problem. It's not the preacher that got, but you got the problem. Either you lied when you was up there, you're lying now. But somewhere there's some lying going on, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So when I got the report, I just kindly picked up the phone. The brother lived over in Thomasville, and I picked up the phone, called him up, and I said, hey, brother. I said, I understand that you said that I had some books in my church that were of the devil, and they were air. It was a book that my pastor wrote. And I approached him humbly. First, I didn't just pull the sword out, okay? I was a nice guy. I said, brother, you know, man, I don't want anything like that in my church. And I said, if you would please come show me in this book that you're speaking of where it's an heir to the Word of God and violates the Scripture. Because if you can show that to me, I'm going to get that out of my church. And that's a truthful statement. That is a truthful statement. I would get it out of my church. And I would get it out and not make it available to people. And he said, brother, he said, you're a man of God. It's for you to figure it out and you got to do it. I said, whoa, wait a second, sir. I said, now, wait a minute. You made a statement to one of the families in my church that there was error and that my pastor was of the devil. And certainly, and then you went on beyond that and said that I was of the devil. And he got quiet. And I said, but here's what I'm going to do for you, sir. I said, I am going to invite you to church, my next service. And I'm going to put you behind my sacred desk. And I said, I want you to stand before these people and I want you to show them where I'm an heir to the Bible. And I want you to show them where my pastor was an heir with the scriptures and the word. And I want you to show me that thing and I'm going to give you the sacred desk. And he said, absolutely not. And I said, well, wait a minute. Hear me out. I said, you got on my platform. This is not mine. I've corrected myself. It's his. And you prophesied that I was a man of God. Okay. And I said, now you're saying differently, so I'm going to let you, because you're going to have every person in that church's blood on your hands. Because now you're saying that I'm of the devil and I'm in false doctrine. And I said, you're going to have those people's blood on your hands because you stood and told them that I was of God. And I'm going to let you come back and show them where I'm not. And he wouldn't do it. You know why? Because he had no Bible. He just had a mouth that needed to be stopped. So that's when I went on with my report. I said, sir, I said, your problem is you're no different than a Catholic priest. And I said, what you do is, I said, you take a man and he'll be in your church. He was a deacon or he was something for many, many years. He goes off and commits adultery and you bring him back up in the front and you say, and you plead the blood of Jesus and you say it's under the blood. And I tell you something, brother, that's no different than going into the confession booth with a priest. No difference whatsoever. You cannot put, when that man knew it was adultery, when that man knew it was wrong to drink, when that man knew it was wrong to do those things, and you just plead the blood of Jesus, you're no different than a Catholic priest and many of our brethren in Christianity and many denominations, including Pentecostals, are guilty of that very thing. You say, well then, how does it work, preacher, if you're going to expose that? I wish I could take time this morning and take you over and read Hebrews 6. Once you've been enlightened of this world to come, tasted of this heavenly gift, paraphrasing again, I could go over there and read it. But it said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Come on now. There's no sacrifice, but you have Hebrews 10, it says that you have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. Now let's talk about the fiery indignation of God. Do you realize it runs in more than one dimension? Right. Number one, I'm a son of God. The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible said that if you're not chastened of the Lord, you're bastard children. That means you don't have Him as a father. Okay? But He is my Father. I got a spirit with Him. He cries, Abba, Father. The Bible again says that we have to become as a child to enter into the kingdom of God. We got to become as a child. We're going to be disciplined. It's not what you want to do. Well, bless God, I'm a man. I'm going to do what I want. Well, you're on your way to hell. We're sons of God. We say, Master, Sir, here I am at your service. I'm giving my body as a living sacrifice. This is just my reasonable service. Amen. I submit to Him. If you want to talk in the dimensions of the bride, and you say you're the bride of Christ, the bride is the weaker vessel going to submit unto the masculine, the inner quickening spirit. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. The flesh. That means this flesh man that you see, it's going to become one with God. I'm going to bring it upright in righteousness through the works of Calvary. I'm going to bring it upright in righteousness by the transformation of my mind. And people are going to see the walk of Christ in my life. They're going to see the manifestation of the sons of God in my life. They're going to see us walking as authority and power, because we went and He said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. And that power is to teach us to walk upright in righteousness in Christ, that people could see His good works living and dwelling within us. Let's give Him a hand. Amen. Now, let me finish the thoughts on willful sin. Now, if we go and we think of the fiery indignation of God. Now, if you as a blood-bought, born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you stumble off into something, or you give place to the devil and you do this, what is the fiery indignation of God? It's the chastening of the Lord. John the Baptist made this statement. He said, I'm not worthy to unlatch your shoes, but there's going to one come out of me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire burns the dross and the chaff and those unpleasing things out of your life. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's going to be burning those things of the things that aren't right with God. Those things are going to be chastened. Well, how does He chasten? Well, there's many ways He could chasten. Let me tell you something. If you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, sensitive to God's Spirit, when you feel Him just distant Himself from you, it'll bring you to conviction really fast. You'll find yourself dropping on your knees saying, God, have mercy on me. Lord, I am sorry. You know, and the Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And sometimes when you're not drawn nigh unto the Lord, the devil's not fleeing, and you find all these things bombarding your thoughts and your thinking, you're going to feel impure, you're going to feel unclean, you're going to feel ungodly, and that's a terrible place to be, and you should repent, and you should start pressing your way back into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation, transforming your mind into the mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, start thinking on the things from above. You see, it's a warfare, brethren. It's a fight. It's a travail. Brother Pike ministered a message and he called it a dispute for the body, a dispute for the woman. You see, the devil wants to use your body. He wants to use your mind. He wants to use your life. He wants to speak through you. But the Lord wants to do the same. That it's no longer you that lives, but it's Him that lives. He wants to speak through you. He wants to manifest through you. He wants to bring hope to the hopeless through you and help to the helpless. Amen. He wants to bring strength to the weak through you. You're a child of God. You're about His business. You are appointed of Him to do this very thing. Come on, brother, we got to get real. Well, I'm going to pray for you. No, shut your mouth and do something. You know what you pray about? You pray about the direction of your works. That's what prayer's about. But when you say, well, you know, brother, I see your need. I'm going to pray for you. Well, you're a liar. You ain't going to do nothing. If you should start helping the brother. Well, I got to pray and see if that's what God wants me to do. Well, I'm not going to contest that. But He came to help. He came for you to do good to them that despitefully even use you and your enemy. So don't take long to find out who he wants you to help if you're really listening to his voice. Amen. So we're talking about still for a moment the fire indignation of God. How does he do this? Let me tell you something. God knows where your heart's at in many times, and he knows how to chasten you. What does a natural dad do to chasten his son? Okay, the boy might be doing something a little bit disobedient. Daddy says, son, straighten up. Son, knock it off. He doesn't do it. Okay, I'm taking away. Nowadays, I guess they'd probably be taking away some video game, some kind of game, some kind of electronic. I'm taking it away from you, son, until you get right. Well, let me tell you, if you're walking in the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost, when you feel that peace removing, you're going to get drawn up and you're going to do some repentance. Say, Lord, help me. That's where you should be. You shouldn't have to go any farther than that. But if you're hard-headed and rebellious, and I've been there. Oh, not you, Brother Rob. I know nobody else has witnessed that kind of stuff in their life. Amen. Just old Brother Rob here. Amen. But let me tell you something. It'll go beyond that. Do you realize that? Let me tell you what the Bible says. If your hand offends you, come on now. What does it say? Oh, that's not literal. Well, let me tell you something. You would literally take your hand off it offended you to make it into the kingdom. I'm telling you, when you find yourself in hell, losing a hand is nothing compared to damnation of hell and the punishment and the torment of hell. And you say, well, you can't take those scriptures literally. Well, I surely can. It said, if your eyes offend you, you're better off to pluck them out, is to go into hell with your eyesight, and you'd be better off to enter into the kingdom maimed. That's the Bible, brethren. And you say, well, you think God could chasten people through affliction? Well, let me tell you, you're the one that brought the chastisement because you removed yourself from him and you bring this things on yourself. He's a merciful God, a loving God. But let me tell you something. He's so loving that he would let me go on just a little bit beyond that thought. I'm dealing with men incarcerated in prison. Okay? And they're in there for the rest of their life. But you know what? I rejoice in the Lord for that. I rejoice that the man was knocked down and he was taken and lost his freedom and lost everything that he had, that he could be a broken, contrite spirit and he could find the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. And through that kind of an affliction, because God knows who the sons of God are before the foundation of the world, brethren. And if they're going to come in by suffering, the Bible said, beloved, it teaches us this. Equip yourself with a mind of suffering. Well, that's not what it's speaking about. Well, let me tell you something, brother. Let's talk about the great apostle Paul that we've been reading some of his writings and different things. Did he suffer? Oh, he suffered for the Lord's name's sake. I say, yea and amen, but he suffered, didn't he? And he said, equip yourself likewise with a mind to suffer. You know, we get into this lukewarm Christianity, this lascivious Christianity, this sissified Christianity. Let me tell you, he said, gird up your loins like a man, endure hardship like a good soldier. We've made this Christianity, well, I said a prayer, you know, at the Billy Graham crusade in 1972, and I've been born again. Where's the fruit of your birth? Where is the fruit of your salvation? Where is the endurance for God? The Bible said, ye that are saved endure to the end. And when you don't see endurance, brethren, and you don't see the fruit of the Spirit in their life, they're just professing that they're born of God and they've never been born again. We got too many counterfeits in religion of America today. You know, I could speak as a Pentecostal. I've been walking in Pentecostal circles for many years. A preacher could be as dry and as dead and as carnal and as lost as could be, but he'd get behind a sacred desk and he starts bouncing up and down, praise God, hallelujah, glory be to Jesus, hallelujah, and he starts doing this and everybody's on their feet shouting and they're wanting to run and hallelujah, glory to God. And the Bible said they're little children, they rose up to play. They come to eat and they rose up to play. I'm not against charisma. I'm not against the shout, brethren. I'm not against those things. But what I'm saying, in many times they've replaced. I like what Brother Arthur said. He was 94 years old preaching over here in Greensboro. Went into a Pentecostal church with him. Boy, they were having a glorious time. I was ready to walk out. It was carnal. It was flesh. But they were screaming and shouting and hollering and running and waving flags and this and that. And it was one of the most carnal things I'd ever seen. It wasn't the Spirit of God, but they were trained and taught that this was the move of the Spirit. The old man, 94 years old, he'd been in every kind of church around this world. A preacher with some wisdom and things like that, and he got behind their pulpit. And he stood there and he looked around at them. And I'm thinking, you're going to have to say something, sir. And he just looked for a while. And he said, you know, brethren, he said, I found that the anointing could make a noise. But he said, a noise doesn't always make an anointing. And I thought, man, because I was thinking, you know, if they asked me to preach in that church, I'm thinking, oh gosh, Jesus help me. Would have been the money changers' tables getting kicked over, amen. And but this old man, he got up there, and that sounds disrespectful. He was 94, 96 at the time. And I believe it was about 104 when he passed away. Still traveling and preaching the gospel, man, right up to 100 years old. I think that's awesome report, amen. But you know, brethren, there's times that the anointing of God could move in a heart, and yes, they get the chains off, they get freedom or get a peace. They're going to be exuberant. They might shout and dance and scream, hallelujah, but the next night you can have somebody do the identical same thing, and God ain't even in the picture. You see, and this is what many people have learned to put their trust in. You know, I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, not just tongues and interpretation, and I believe in miracles and healings and faith and discerning of spirits. I believe in these things, wisdom and knowledge, brethren. But let me tell you something. There's many people that will operate in the gifts that don't have the Holy Ghost, because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. It said, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. And being the move of the Spirit in a man's mind or in his life or in things like that is not the vindication of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And just if we're just going to take, the Jews are the ones that sought for a sign. And they, and the Bible, New Testament doctrine said, I'm afraid of you that seek a sign. Brethren, we're the sons of God. We've got the discernment of spirit. If I think everybody's got the Holy Ghost that speaks in tongues, man, I'm setting myself up for some real gross error. I've met a lot of tongue-talking devils over the years. This is not a doctrine against tongues, brethren, but it's a doctrine of differentiating and understanding that all tongues are not of God. And you say, well, do you believe that people that get filled with the Holy Ghost speak in tongues? Well, brethren, I do believe this, that even in the Scriptures, the New Testament, the tongue was there for a sign to the Jew. And I know in this day, because of the blindness of man walking in the same carnality that the Jews did, many times the Lord will allow a sign to them for they could believe something and set their faith. Amen? So I'm not removing tongues, brethren, but when we make a doctrine, it says that it's the initial evidence. If it's the initial evidence and prophecy is a greater gift to desire than tongues, that makes prophecy greater than the Holy Ghost. And we know better than that. There ain't nothing greater than the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because prophecy is a more desired gift to be, and nothing could be more desirable than the Holy Ghost. And if we think tongues is the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, then that doesn't fit in the Scriptures. Yea and amen? So we believe in tongues, we speak in tongues, we pray in the Holy Ghost, we gird up our innermost strength, amen. But we got to be careful, because many times people will take these doctrines, and I've been in too many Pentecostal churches with a man that's a whoremonger, and he comes in the service, the rain comes down, he lifts his hands speaking in tongues, praising God, and he's nothing but lost, amen. I could share a story with one that was 72 years old. He played the fiddle on the platform of the evangelistic center I used to preach at. This has been 30 years ago. He played the fiddle, and boy, he was there. And man, you'd hear him praising God, speaking in tongues, tears coming down his eyes, every service. And the man was molesting his four-year-old granddaughter. Now, can a man full of the Holy Ghost do that? I ask you the question. Can a man full of the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. And when you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Spirit of God in you. And you think you could do such a terrible, filthy act as that and be full of the Holy Ghost? Come on, saints of God. We got to get beyond these things, you know, of the lying signs and wonders. We got to be careful of our doctrines that we teach. You see, we got the Spirit of God. I had a preacher come into service here in a camp meeting not too many months back or weeks back, and he sat about right there where Pete's at, or maybe one bench forward. And this man had the most unclean spirit, and it troubled me. And he was a preacher. And his spirit was emanating from him, just was really grieving my spirit. Well, there was another man that happened to be here from another state. that knew him. I didn't know the man, never seen the man, but my spirit was grieved with him. And when I opened up the altars for prayer, I called the ministers. This man came forward and started laying hands on people, and I was sick. And I was going to do something about it. You know, did he speak in tongues? Sure he did. He spoke in tongues. He magnified himself to be a great, great man of God. Been around for many, many more years than I have been. Been in the ministry field for much longer than me. But the problem was he had an unclean spirit. Well, then I come to find out that the man had been in prison on more. Now listen, God could forgive a pedophile. He could forgive a pedophile. He could forgive a sodomite. He could forgive a whoremonger, and wash their sins away, and they could be made pure. Amen. But this man had gone to prison as a pedophile after his many years of even ministering. And you see, there was an uncleanness with him. You see, I couldn't have made that up. I knew there was something that was like just wanting me to shun him bad. But I'm a person, I want to love people and help people and reach out to the sick. But I couldn't help this man because he was so puffed up in his own mind and his own self. I couldn't reach him. I couldn't help him. But this is something, this is what we call discernment, brethren. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to make me feel unclean or to feel the uncleanness. But I'm sorry, unclean people make me feel unclean. They do. I told you this the other day, and I've expressed this to some folks. I said, when I'm around a person that lies, it makes me feel unclean. And you say, well, why would that be? Because the Bible said, charity believeth all things. And when somebody's lying to me, and I'm discerning that they're lying to me, my spirit starts getting in this uncomfortable way. Because in my heart, I want to believe all things. And I don't want to think of you as a liar. I want to esteem you greater than myself. I want to love you. But there's something, you're making me feel very unclean here because you're not being straight with me. You're lying to me. And it puts me in a travail. And I find myself separating from people like that if I can't help them. The Bible said, if you perceive there's no understanding in man, depart from him. You see, evil communications corrupt good manners. You say, yeah, but you're a minister, you're a pastor, you're supposed to love them and help them. I do love them, and I try to help them. But if they won't receive the help, the correction, the exhortations, the edification, the reproofs or the rebukes, then there's no more that I could do after the first or second admonishing, depart from them. And I've had to do this with ministers over the years. I'm not no better than any of them. Just talking with you, saints. This is what we come to church for, to get edified in the Word. Brethren, we're all on the same course. We're all walking the same walk. We're all pressing for the same place. The Bible said that the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints. How can I do that when Jesus perfected you once and for all by his works? Rend the veil. I got to bring the perfection of the invisible works into manifestation in what people see in your life. I got to bring the manifestation of the sons of God in your life. You got to walk different, talk with them, be like the Bible said, be numbered with the peculiar. You see, brethren, I'm peculiar to this world. I don't like the tattoos. Sorry. I don't like it. I don't like the stripping off. I don't like it. I don't like the things of the world. I don't partake with them and run with them and fellowship with them. Does it make you better than them? Absolutely not. It makes me trying to reach them. Because when I intermingle with them in the world, then I want to talk about Jesus and say, you're no different than me. We've had too many times, and you know of too many cases, that people that had troubles with us because of our stand for godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness, they didn't want to fellowship with us because they wanted the ball games and the sports. They wanted the theme parks and the frolics of the world. They want the televisions and all the carnal stuff. Well, let me tell you something. When the sickness strikes the home, when their children have got doctor's reports of dying, and when all that, where do they run to, brethren? Where do they go to? You see, we want to be a light. We want to hold a standard. You say, well, Jesus died for us and perfected us, yes, and this and that. But, you know, he allows us to be partakers of this world. You need to be careful. Come out of the world, be ye a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. And evil communications corrupt good manners, just like we're talking about education. People say, well, Brother Rob's against education. I got a lot of education, brethren. It may not all be from college or going to college, but I got education. I'm not against education, but I'm against the carnal mind that they're teaching in education. You know, you can go to college to get a degree in some career, but in the meantime, they're going to be pumping a bunch of other filth down your throat. And it's sad that even the preachers that want to get a college degree in theology of some sort, they go to college and they get a bunch of trash pumped down their throat that isn't even a biblical foundation, and they're leaning to the psychologist instead of the discernment of God, and they're teaching them psychology instead of neology. Amen? I know those are fancy little phrases, you might say, but they're the facts and they're the truth. Amen. I love you all and I appreciate you this morning for giving us time. There's a lot of things that possibly been said or opened up here that could take much more expounding. Let's go back down here to 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Are ye in him? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. You don't know him, and he don't know you. They stood before him. They said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. They done the works of what we would say even appeared to be full of the Holy Ghost. I prophesied. I cast out devils. He said something to them, very important thing. He said, I didn't once know you, and you backslid. He didn't say that. He said, I never knew you, he said, ye that work iniquity. I never knew that. They never had the relationship with him. They never had the marriage relationship. That word knowing is the same word that it said that Mary did not know Joseph. She was a spouse to him. He was standing in harm's way, even put his own life in danger to marry her as a virgin with a child. Okay, but Mary did not know Joseph until after Jesus was born. There wasn't the marriage relationship. And when Jesus said there in those scriptures, he said, I never knew you, he was saying, you've never been married unto me, and you never brought forth the heir to the throne. The woman saved in childbearing, the bride saved in childbearing by bringing forth the heir to the throne, by receiving the seed. If we go on a little bit farther, it said it's the seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. That seed comes from the Spirit. Now remember the water world out here, the things that pertain. The Bible said water, blood, and spirit. These three agree in one. It said Father, Word, Holy Ghost, these three are one. Out here in the water world, an apple seed brings an apple tree. Peach seed brings a peach tree. Okay? Not hard. Blueberries bring blueberries and whatever. Okay, that's relative to the water world. There's a seed in the water world. We come into the blood world, the semen leaves the loins of the man and goes into the woman. It reproduces after its kind, blood world, water, blood, and spirit. There's a seed of the Spirit, brethren, and it's of the Father, and it's the same seed that went in to bring forth to Jesus Christ. You understand that? It's the same seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. And this is why the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin, because we're not of this world. We're new creatures. And when Jesus said, where I am, you shall be also, he has taken us and hid us away in Christ. We're hid away with him, and nothing could be laid to our charge. Nothing could touch us. Amen. This is why we are more than conquerors. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, you're speaking about the completed works of Christ. That's what we're supposed to speak about. Amen. But now we got to bring it to manifestation through faith and bring the invisible things, the Father invisible, and we got to bring the faith, brethren. We got to bring the invisible things to a substance, to manifestation, and bring it upright in your speech, in your actions, in your walk, in your talk, that you could be numbered with the Word of God, written epistles, read and known of all men. Let's give him a hand, saints of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me finish this reading right there a little bit. Verse 6 again, it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Now, when you go to a church and they teach you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, you need to have enough understanding first to depart. And number two, you need to go with the love of God to the preacher and say, brother, you know, you are of your father, the devil, and I love you, but you need to repent and get born again. Amen. So let's read on here. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin. Now, if you're under a preacher that says that you're a sinner, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, why would a preacher, when he's trying to teach you a profession in Christ, teach you that you're a sinner and sin every day? He's teaching you that you are of your father, the devil. Amen. And you know your destiny if that's the case. Brethren, we need to learn to have the profession of Christ. We are blood-bought, born again, children of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, walking in righteousness and holiness and virtue by the works of Christ at Calvary. And let it be settled in your heart and know who you are and quit getting tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you need to start having that profession and declare, brethren, I am a son of God. I'm born again. Hallelujah. That's what people need to hear coming forth out of your mouth, but they need to witness it and see it also in every action in your life. Little children, verse 7, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many believe that God destroyed the works of the devil? Amen. That was sin. If sin was done away with, whosoever is born of God. Come on now, this is Bible. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. As the Bible said, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brother. Let's give him another hand as we stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come on, saints of God. We're the children of God. We've been bought. We've been purchased. We've been paid for. Amen. By the works of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. You love him this morning? Amen. I tell you, it's coming to an understanding, coming to a revelation. We need to know that we pass from death unto life. Amen. We need to know what Jesus said. The last enemy was death, and it's abolished. If it wasn't done at Calvary, it'll never be done. We've passed from death unto life. We're eternal. We're already hid away. Amen. If the Lord tarries and you take your last breath on this old earth, the Bible said, absent from this body is be present with the Lord. You know that ain't death, huh? Because we pass from death unto life. We cannot die, sons of God. The fullness or the sting of sin is death. But it's been done away with. That's why we're more than conquerors. Amen. You love him? Amen. That's something to be thankful about, saints of God. That's something to truly be thankful about. Amen. Because otherwise, you were born and shapen in iniquity. And it was appointed to go back to the dust. There's no hope in that, brethren. There's no life in that. That's temporal. But we're no longer temporal. See, brethren, I'm not looking for eternal life. For eternal life sought me out and found me, and I'm walking in eternal life. I'm fellowshipping in eternal life. And the thing is the people of this world don't see me of what I already am. But one day when he manifests, as we read, that we will be seen just like him. And they'll say, this is what I've always been. Amen. They're going to say the same thing to Jesus. Wow, you are God. You are God Almighty. He said, that's what I was when I was walking among you and you sinned against me and you took and crucified me and you killed me. He said, I got these nail prints in the house of my friends. And you say, but your doctrine's a little puffed up and sounds a little bit thinking highly of yourself. How can I think highly of myself when I stand before you and say, I've been crucified with Christ and the life that I now live is by faith in him. It's not my works, it's his works, brethren. It's all glory and honor. If there's any good thing said from me, the glory goes to him. It's him, it's his word. It's all about him. He is the preeminence. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our salvation. He is truth. He is the spirit of truth. He is life. Amen. He is everything. I'm nothing. I'm the least of all. Amen. But he's purchased me and bought me, set me aside and predestined me and chose. Amen. Let's believe him. God bless you. I love you. Let's sing a song. Amen. The altars are open this morning.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're dwelling in the kingdom, saints. The world doesn't see the kingdom because they're blind and they don't have eyes to see. But brethren, the Bible's clear, and we plainly understand that, brethren, now we are the sons of God, and now we're fellowshipping and walking in God's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because the sons of God, the Bible says, are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God walks in His kingdom. Amen. And we're partakers with all things that pertaineth unto life because we're fellowshipping God in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't look at the vanity lie of this world. Don't limit yourself to what other men do or what the world does. You're unlimited, amen, in Christ. He's given you everything. Believe it, receive it, and praise Him and rejoice. And again, let Him be the high priest of your profession, amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You love Him this morning, saints? You have that peace that surpasses all understanding this morning? We need that, saints of God. We don't want to walk in some kind of arrogancy or overconfidence in some fleshly intellectual revelation that we got, but we want to walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding by being full of the Spirit of peace and joy and salvation, knowing that our name is in the book of life, knowing, amen, that we pass from death unto life. We need to believe this. I'm repetitive, yes, but you got to believe this in your heart. That, beloved, now you are the sons of God. You're not in search of salvation. You're bringing salvation manifested to mankind. You're not in search for the kingdom. You're walking and fellowshipping in the kingdom of God. Amen. You need to know who you are, amen, for you can bring others to that very thing. Amen. This sister's going to stand in for her mother. Amen. Very biblical, we say, stand in proxy for her mom. And some of you brethren may want to come up on the altar, some of the sisters. Amen. As we lay hands on this sister. Amen. How many can pray a prayer of faith and believe? Amen. Amen. We've seen God move and set people free. Amen. Deliver people. We prayed for people in services that were hundreds of miles away. And the time we prayed and anointed with oil, they got the petition and they were delivered from death and sicknesses and many things over the years. Amen. Why? Because we simply believe. Amen. Amen. We simply believe in the Word of God. Amen. We believe in His Word. Amen. We believe in His Word, or we got no business even praying and standing. The devil believes with fear and trembling. Does he have salvation? Absolutely not. We got to start with believing and go on into faith, and then we go on into seeing vindication and manifestation, and we see faith made into a substance. Amen. Most gracious Father, as this sister stands for her mother right now in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Most gracious Father, we thank You, Lord God. Father, we know it must be faith to make someone want to come forward and say, God, I know there's something that You can do. Father, we know that Your Word says that You grant the petitions even before we ask. And Father, we ask You to honor this action that she came forward. Father, knowing that there's no distance in the Spirit. So, Father, as we pray and believe together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His finished works with Calvary, knowing that Sister April was on His mind and engraved in His hands, and His back was scarred and plowed with her in mind. So, Father God, we ask right now in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that You move in this sister's behalf right now and touch her. Oh, Lord God, let the virtue of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ move right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, into that home right now and touch that sister right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You and I praise You and I worship You, Lord God, knowing that Your Word is real and every man be a liar, Lord God, and we're proclaiming Your Word that You are moving right now in Jesus Christ's name in this sister's complication, sickness, or illness right now in Jesus' name. I thank You, I worship You, and I praise You, Lord God, and I expect a testimony in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God.
Surely there's a work that I can do.
There's a great work, saints of God. There's a work that we can do, amen. We do this work of the kingdom by faith, amen. We make ourselves available to Him, amen. And we say, here I am, Lord God, use me. Move, Lord God. Move in my spirit. Move in my life. Move, Lord God. Hallelujah. You love Him? Serving a mighty God.
Jesus, use me.
Let this be your prayer this morning, saints of God, as we close the service. I want God to use me, amen. You know, the Bible said that there's many called but few chosen. You know, unless the choosing comes, you really can't meet and fulfill the calling. Amen. You say, what's the difference? Well, when I was a pilot, I saw many people pressing for more career, more certification to fly bigger, faster airplanes. I saw them over and over doing it, but sometimes they weren't chosen because they couldn't meet the qualification. You say, well, Jesus is the qualification. I say, yea and amen. I won't contest then. But on the same hand, the Bible teaches us very clearly the qualifications of a bishop, an evangelist, even a deacon. Sorry to say that most pastors can't line up with the qualifications of a deacon in this day and hour, because a deacon needs to be a man full of the Holy Ghost, amen. And I find many ministries. Brethren, don't misunderstand me. There's some wonderful Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled men of God around this world. I'm so thankful to have friends filled with the Holy Ghost, preachers that are truly called and anointed of God. They're out there, brethren, but they are a little flock. The Bible said small flock, little flock. Amen. They're getting harder to find. Many of them are selling out. I'm knowing Pentecostal men that have been in the Pentecostal work for years and years that are selling out more and more. They're saying they're getting out of the ritualistics. Brethren, living a godly, overcoming life and separating from the world is not a ritualistic. It is a commandment. And without holiness, the Bible said, we shall not even see God. So, or will we know Him? Amen? So we need to stick. Not the Bible said, don't remove the old landmarks. And if it was good enough for them preachers at the turn of the century or the 1900s, it's good enough for me. And that's not going far enough back. We don't want to remove the old landmarks to come all the way from the book of Acts. Amen. We want to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and we want to fellowship in the Spirit, and we want to walk in the counsels of God. Amen. Y'all love Him? Y'all kind of quiet this morning. Y'all love Him this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Is worth the living just because He lives.
Hallelujah.
Because He lives.
I'm thankful He lives, brethren, because He is the Spirit of life. Amen. Hallelujah. And when He lives and He lives in you, then you've got life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. If you want that peace that surpasses all understanding, there's only one way that you can have it. It's when He lives within. Amen. It brings a peace from within. And there could be a shaking going on the outside. There could be storms. There could be ISIS breathing down on your property line. Amen. But you got peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get Brother Frady to dismiss us this morning. Pray for us, brethren. Amen. Keep this brother's trip in mind, the trip to India, him and Brother Lackey, and pray about these things for these men, brother. Be in before the Lord that their trip could be prosperous, that it could be blessed. Amen. Be fruitful. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, when you're going into the foreign fields today, you're putting yourself in harm's way. People don't like America. They don't like Americans. Amen. But praise God, we go by the anointing of God, by the preparation of God, and under the hand of God. Amen. We've gone into countries when they begged us not to go. It was a bad time. Strife and wars and tribal strifes and wars and killings. Killed 1,200 right in the same neighborhood that we went into just 10 days before we were there. People were hiding at the preachers, were going underground, hiding at the time. And God told us to go then, and we went. Had a wonderful meeting. People said, if this crazy American's crazy enough to come over here and preach the gospel, I'm crazy enough to go hear him. Amen. And we had a wonderful time. Amen. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's be about the Father's business. Amen. Brother Frady, God bless you all. We love you. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.